we continue to be in the presence of God tonight. And bless all the mothers that are here tonight. We're going to continue briefly for the next 15 minutes in what was started last week when we began the series on studying the Bible and how to look at the Word of God, how to study the text. And if you remember from last week, we talked about the principles of studying the Bible, and we went over, if anybody remembers, Brother Leviu, he went over about observation, the first step when we approach the Word of God. We observe. What does it say? Second is interpretation. What does it mean? Correlation. What does the verses explain? What other verses explain it? And application. What will I do about it? And tonight we will go a little bit deeper into this. Specifically, we will look at understanding the meaning of a text, And please open your Bibles. I'm going to read from John chapter 15. And I will read from verse 1 all the way up to verse 17. John chapter 15. Verse 1 through 17. These are the words of Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He didn't say we can do something. We can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, I repeat, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love had no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. If you do not choose me, but I choose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. Amen. How great is it that Jesus calls us friends? Amen. How great is it that he calls us friends? We're all here tonight in his name and gathered in his name, our wonderful Savior and our best friend, Jesus. Let's talk about the meaning of this text. Obviously, it is a It is filled with meaning. It is filled with images. It is filled with emotion. It is charged with a lot of spirit, a lot of message that the Lord is giving to his disciples. It is very heavy, specifically because of the context that it's written in, and the context that it's spoken. So when we consider this text, when we consider any biblical text, we must first consider it in the historical context. Who is it being spoken to, and why? Before we ask ourselves what it means to us, we should ask ourselves what it meant to them, and what it meant to the people that it was spoken to. So number one, consider the historical context. When looking at a biblical text, consider the historical context. And let's look at the historical context of John chapter 15. This chapter comes in between a very long discourse that all happens in one night. It all happened in one night, in one day. From chapter 13 onwards up to chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples for the very last time. These are his last words. This is what he wants to leave them with. The long discourse that Christ gives before he is captured, before he's betrayed, before he's taken to be crucified. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to his most trusted disciples. He's speaking to his most trusted followers, the 12. There's 12 of them there. He takes them up in chapter 13, if you look. He takes them up to the upper room, in Odaya de Sus, where the amazing Last Supper takes place. So he's speaking to his most trusted followers, the people that he's been with for 3 years, who've known him, who have heard everything he's spoken. And he's summarizing his ministry in four chapters. This is the last speech. This is the king's speech, if you want to call it that way. It's the last speech before the crucifixion, before he's going to be taken away. It's an extended conversation that happens with, that begins in the upper room. It all begins in the upper room. And I want us to just take a little bit and imagine and just try to be there in the upper room and try to think about what happened. The atmosphere must have been really grave. The atmosphere must have been really heavy. I think you could probably cut the air in the room. It was so heavy laden with anticipation, with anxiety, with fear. And the first thing that he does, and I just love more than what Jesus says, because he says a lot of things. And more than what he says, I just love what he does. I love what he does. Because it's almost like saying, you know what, I'm going to say many things to you. You will hear many things now. But you may not remember everything that you will hear, but you will remember this. And they do remember. And what is the first thing that he does? What is the first thing that Jesus does? I want us to look at, there are two main illustrations. There's a lot of things that Jesus does in these four chapters. But I want us to just stop and look at two specifically that he does. And he says, when he does them, he says, I want you to do the same. I want you to do the same. The first thing he does is he washes their feet. He washes their feet. We all know the famous scene when he goes to wash Peter's feet, and Peter says, no, you to wash my feet? Never, never. And what does Jesus say to him? You don't realize what I am doing. You don't realize what I am doing now. But later you will understand. John chapter 13, verse 7. Later you will understand. How many times does Christ do things in our lives and we don't realize what's happening? You may not know what's happening, what God is doing in your life right now, and you're asking yourself the question, what's happening, God? What am I going through? You don't know what I'm doing to you now, but one day you will understand. One day you will understand. So he washes the feet, and it's the image of the towel, ștergarul, the washing of the feet. And he says, do this. And he gives them a powerful lesson of what it means to be a servant, what it means to serve each other. And he's telling them again and again and again, love one another, love each other, remain in me, do this in remembrance of me. We're good talkers, you know, we like to talk and we like to get it off our chest and to some of us are even good at sharing the gospel with other people. Sometimes we're even good listeners, you know, and some of us have learned to become, to tune our ears, to become good listeners. So few of us, and it's so hard for us to be imitators and to do as Christ did, to be imitators of Christ. We don't understand, we don't know what God is doing now, but you will understand later. So what's happening right now in the disciples' lives. Jesus is showing them. Jesus is revealing to them. Then he says something interesting in verse 31. If we look at John chapter 13 again, he says, come now, let us leave this place. Arise, let us go from here. Sculativa, haide să plecăm de aici. The air in the room has just gotten a lot more heavier because he said, one of you here is about to betray me. You are clean, but not all of you are clean. You can imagine the anxiety and that was just the level of anxiety that had just risen in that room. And I can picture Jesus just sitting there before his disciples and looking into their faces and reading their reactions one by one and seeing how they're beginning to look at each other and beginning to guess and to devise conspiracy theories of who could it be? Is it me? Is it this guy? Is it that guy? And Jesus says, stop. Stop. Arise. Let's go from here. You know, maybe I'm naive to think about it this way, but maybe Jesus said, if we leave this room, there could be another chance. There could be one more chance that if I continue to preach to you, if I continue to share with you, even Judas, it's possible that even Judas may get it at one point. He may return. He says, let's leave from here. And if you can picture it, they're in Jerusalem. So they're going, they're making the journey to Gethsemane. And the journey takes them through the valley of Kedron, the Valle Kedron. And the Valley of Kedron is known for its vineyards. It's known for its beautiful vineyards. And I just want us to picture Jesus walking with his disciples in the moonlight, in the vineyards. And it's getting dark, and you can hear the crickets. And it's just him and the disciples, and they're walking in the vineyards. It's a beautiful. Probably the vineyards have already bloomed. The grapes are there. And he says, look at the vineyards, look at the fruit, look at the branches. And he says to them, just as you see these branches that are bearing fruit and they will bear wine, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He's showing them again, he's illustrating the vine. You are, if you stay connected in me, if you stay in me, if you remain in me, you will bear fruit. You will bear fruit. The other important thing to see and to understand from reading this text is to see what the key words are and to define the key words. Number two, define the key words. How do we understand the meaning of a text and what is God communicating through this text? Look at the words. Love, repeated nine times. Fruit, repeated nine times. And just so we can be clear, fruit at the singular, it didn't say the fruits of the Spirit roadele, roada, roada. It is spoken in singular. It is one fruit. We'll talk about what this fruit means and what fruit he's talking about. And then the other one is remain. The Greek word is meno, which means to be connected, to be connected. It's written 11 times in the passage. Love, fruit, and remain. Meno, remain in me. Love one another. Bear fruit. Define the key words. Have you guys ever had an argument with someone, and because you both used the same words but meant something totally different by it, you couldn't understand each other? Right? I've had this with my wife the other night. Right? We can both use two words that, or we can use the same word that have different meanings, right? But we don't understand each other. Language in the secular view is relative. One word can mean different things to many people, right? That is the ideology of our time. You can't say something and have it mean the same thing for you that it means for them. Whatever it means for you, right? What did this song mean, right? Well, I don't understand it, but whatever it meant for you. Look at the word, for instance, band. Just the word band, right? What can it? So many meanings. It can mean a group of guys playing musical instruments, right? What else can it mean? A rubber band? A band of thieves, right? It can have so many meanings. Batter. You know, some of you may be thinking about cake, while some of us are thinking about a baseball player, right? I had this exercise with some students that I teach during the week in my writing class with this sentence. I asked them, explain to me what this sentence means. The man is cold. That man is cold. So many different meanings. What does it mean that he's cold? Does it mean that he has a cold personality? Does he mean that he's cold, that he's freezing? Does he mean that he's dead? What does it mean that the man is cold? Language, brothers and sisters, is used to manipulate us. We manipulate language the way we want to, right? We know we're good manipulators of language. And words, we twist them so that we can put them in context and out of context. One president of the United States, famously, when he was being interviewed for something that he did, and I'm not going to mention the name, I think all of you know who it is, he said, oh, that depends on what the meaning of is. What the meaning of is. So you see, language is continuously being manipulated, and people are continuously changing it. And you can take whatever word out of the gospel and say, well, this is what it means. This is what I think it means. You can take the Bible and interpret it the way you want to. But the Bible doesn't have multiple interpretations. The Word of God means what it means. The Word of God doesn't have multiple interpretations. It has multiple applications. And Jesus doesn't tell his disciples that, you know, if you follow me, you're going to be successful. You're going to be rich. You're going to be wealthy. He says you're going to be fruitful. A lot of people equate turning your life around and becoming a Christian to being successful. But that's not what Christ promises. He says you will be fruitful. There's a difference between being fruitful and being successful. Look at the meaning of the words. Love, fruit, singular. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. And remain. 11 times, remain in me. Remain in me. If you remain in me, I will remain in you, just as I am in my Father. What does it mean to remain in Christ? What does it mean to be in him, to be connected to him? You see, we pray for the fruit. And we come to church and we say, Lord, give me more love. I don't have enough love. You know, I'm really good in the department of patience, but I lack love. So I need more love. or we say to each other, I want God to give me more patience because I'm lacking in that department. There's no such thing as I have a little bit of that and I have a little less of this and I have more of that and less of that. The fruit of the Spirit, Roada Duhului, is what gives us the fruit. The Holy Spirit working in us is what gives us the fruit. It's not like we can come and pick and choose what kind of fruits we want to have on our tree. It is the Holy Spirit working in us continuously, every day, day by day. If we remain in Him, Jesus promises, I will send you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will work in you, and you will bear fruit. You will bear fruit. What are the characteristics of bearing this fruit? And I want to look at number three. Know what is clear. Know what is clear. Interpret an unclear verse with a clear one. Know what is clear. If we don't understand what fruit means or what remain in me means, Jesus says that bearing fruit is an act that the Holy Spirit works in us. Fruit is an inside job. You can't just tie a piece of fruit on the tree. It is the Spirit of God that's giving you the fruit. You can't tack on righteousness. You can't tack on love. You can't do it by yourself. That's very important. You can't read a 12-step process. You can't read a book on how to be more faithful or how to be more full of love, and then somehow you miraculously come through as being a person full of love. You can't do it by yourself. It's the Holy Spirit working in you, bearing fruit. Fruit is produced by remaining in Christ, being connected to Christ, remaining connected to Christ. How do we do that? How do we stay connected to God? Through prayer, through reading the Word, staying close to Him. It's like the brother this morning, you know, who preached about where we are in our walk with God. And sometimes it is, we're always asking God to please come into our lives and come into this situation. Lord, come into this. And Lord, come into this and help me. And help. It's like prayer is our last resort sometimes. When we ask God, when we've already began doing something and it's going wrong for us, and we're asking God, God, please come and help me now. Come and help me pass this exam. Come and help me in this relationship. Come and help me with this job. But being and remaining in Christ and staying connected to Christ means that you're going with God. It's not calling God to come with you. Amen? It's like a famous basketball coach said, you don't play the ball where it is. You play the ball where it's going to be. You play the ball where it's going to be. So when we're walking with God, when we're connected to Him, we know, because we're going after Him, and wherever He's going, it's where we're going. Amen? Bearing fruit brings glory to God. It's another characteristic of fruit. It brings glory to God. Bearing fruit, brothers and sisters, is an act of sacrifice. The tree toils to bear fruit. It is a process that takes work and pain, but it is also an act of worship. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Bearing fruit is true worship. Bearing fruit is true worship. And also, and finally, bearing fruit will bring me complete joy. Bearing fruit will bring me complete joy. Thomas Jefferson, writing the Declaration of Independence, perhaps wrote one of the most famous sentences in the history of the English language. They said that through this one sentence, a whole nation was invented. the inventing of America through one of the best known sentences in history. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness. Benjamin Franklin and others fought for that last line, and they said it should be the pursuit of property, because happiness is something that's intangible. How can you say the pursuit of happiness? But he fought for it and said, no, it should be the pursuit of happiness. And it invented a whole concept that is still alive in our culture and in our society today, that you have the freedom to pursue your happiness. And it's this endless pursuit that just makes the running after happiness a destroying and a destructive experience for us. Chasing after happiness, the pursuit of happiness. When Jesus says, remain in me and you will have happiness. It is permanent happiness. It is not transient happiness. You don't have to chase it. It's in Christ. You know, the disciples came to Jesus and said, wow, amazing things are happening. Demons are being cast out. People are being healed. People are being risen from the dead. And Jesus says, don't rejoice that all these things are happening. Bucurați-vă că numele voastre sunt scrise în cartea vieții. And that's our joy tonight, brothers and sisters. What is the fruit? Maybe we're lacking the fruit of the Spirit, then we're asking God tonight. And I want us to ask God tonight, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Bring us into you, Jesus, so that we are in you, that we remain in you, we are connected to you. If you're not connected to Christ tonight, I urge you to connect with him in prayer. I urge you to seek him and not to just ask him, Lord, come into my life and come into my situation. Say, I want to go where you go. I want to go where you go, Lord. I want to remain in you. I want the fruit to be a glory to you, not a glory to me. I don't want people to say, wow, look how patient he is. Look how wonderful. Look how full of love she is. Who cares if the world thinks that I'm not loving, that I'm not kind? If the Lord brings kindness into your heart and the Lord washes it over you, it doesn't matter what the world says, because it is a glory to God and not to the world and not to you. And bearing fruit, finally, will bring you complete joy. It is not the pursuit of joy, which will land you nowhere. And you try to find happiness in all the wrong places. True happiness is in Christ Jesus. If you remain in me and you keep my commandments, the Lord says that your names will be written in the book of life. And that is the true joy for us tonight. Amen.